Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Pelcia, moderator for the conference call. Welcome to Avanti Feeds Limited Q2 FY 2023 and 2024 Investors Conference Call. We have with us today Mr. C. Ramachandra Rao, Joint Managing Director, Mr. A. Venkata Sanjeev, Executive Director, Mr. Alluri Nikhilesh, Executive Director, Avanti Frozen Foods Private Limited, Mr. D.V.S. Satyanarayana, CFO, Avanti Frozen Foods Private Limited, Mrs. Shantilata, GM Finance and Accounts, and Mr. Narinder Sharma, CS, Avanti Frozen Foods Private Limited. As a reminder, all participants will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note this conference is recorded. I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. C. Ramachandra Rao, Joint Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Pelcia. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I extend a warm welcome to all for this investors conference call to review the unaudited financial results for Q2 FY 2024. Along with me are Venkata Sanjeev, Executive Director, Mr. Nikhilesh, Executive Director, Mrs. Shantilata, General Manager, Finance and Accounts, D.V.S. Satyanarayana, CFO, Narinder Sharma, Company Secretary, and other team members. The results of Q2 FY 2024 are already with you for some time now, and we are sure that you would have gone through them. However, I would like to share with you some of the key indicators relevant for our discussion today. Consolidated financial results for Q2 FY 2024 and half year FY 2024. The comparative performance of Q2 FY 2024 with that of Q1 FY 2024 and Q2 FY 2023 have been given in the presentations already circulated. Gross income in Q2 FY 2024 is rupees 1,312 crores as compared to rupees 1,586 crores in the previous quarter, Q1 FY 2024, a decrease of rupees 275 crores, which is by 17%. Compared to Q2 FY 2023, gross income of rupees 1,348, there is a decrease of rupees 36 crores, representing 2.6%. The PBT is 113 crores in Q2 FY 2024 as compared to rupees 157 crores in Q1 FY 2024, a decrease of 44 crores by 28%. Compared to Q2 FY 2023, PBT of 91 crores, there is an increase of rupees 22 crores, representing 24%. In half year FY 2024, the total income decreased to 2,898 crores from 2,930 crores in half year FY 2023. The PBT in half year FY 2024 increased to 270 crores from rupees 197 crores in the corresponding period of the previous year, mainly due to decrease in the raw material cost and increase in other income. The consolidated results indicate the net impact of several factors such as increase, decrease in income, expenditure and exceptional items, etc., relating to feed and frozen food divisions, which have been discussed in the following divisional performance of the units individually. Let me take up the standalone financial results of feed division. First, the gross income for the Q2 FY 2024 is 1,064 crores as compared to rupees 1,351 crores in the previous quarter of Q1 24, a decrease of rupees 287 crores, mainly due to decrease in quantity of feed sales due to seasonal changes. The gross income in Q2 FY 24 increased to 1,064 crores from rupees 1,040 crores in the corresponding quarter of Q2 FY 23, an increase by rupees 24 crores, representing 2% due to increase in sales quantity by 1,830 metric ton and decrease in raw material costs. PBT of Q2 FY24 is rupees 86 crores as compared to rupees 125 crores in Q1 FY24, decrease of 39 crores representing 30%, mainly due to decrease in sales volume due to seasonal changes. The feed sales decreased to 1,27,800 metric tons in Q2 FY24 as compared to 1,65,507 metric tons in Q1 FY24. The PBT in Q2 FY24 has increased by 35 crores from 52 crores in Q2 FY23, representing 67%. As you know, the cost of raw materials constitute major share of cost of feed production, particularly raw materials like fish meal, soya bean meal, and wheat flour. The average raw material cost in terms of percentage over feed sale price was 85.72% in Q2 FY24 as compared to 84.75% in Q1 FY24 and 88.11% in Q2 FY23, indicating a marginal increase by about 1% as compared to Q1 FY24 and decrease of 2.5% in Q2 FY23. The increasing trend is continued so far the current quarter, that is Q3 FY24, is concerned. The average cost takes into consideration volatility of the major raw materials like fish meal, soybean meal, and wheat flour, sometimes increase and sometimes decrease during respective quarters. The Q2 FY24 rates of fish meal, soybean meal, and wheat flour are 127 per kg, 54 per kg soybean meal, and 29 per kg wheat flour, respectively. The prices of fish meal, soybean meal, and wheat flour were at 138 per kg, 54 per kg, and 33 per kg respectively as on date, that is 19th November 2023. The fish meal price continues to be on the higher side due to export demand. The soybean meal price has been going up and down, and thereby the average soybean meal price has been about 54 per kg. It was expected that the soybean meal price may come down at least marginally due to arrival of fresh crop of soybean from last month. However, so far there has been no such indication. The MSP on soybean meal has also been increased by the government. In the case of wheat flour, the price has been on increasing trend, with the price being 33 per kg from 29 rupees per kg earlier. This wheat also, the government of India has increased the minimum support, maximum support price. To sum up, I would like to share with you that the prices of these raw materials, along with related products like fish oil, soya lecithin, etc., keep changing from time to time depending upon the seasonality, production, global trends, etc., which has direct impact on the raw material cost of the feed beyond the company's control. Let me compare the 6 months performance of the current year with the corresponding period previous year. In HY FY22, the total income increased to 2,415 crores from 2,352 crores in half year ended FY23 due to increase in feed sales and other income. The PBT in HY FY22 increased to rupees 212 crores from rupees 130 crores in the corresponding period of the previous year, mainly due to decrease in raw material cost and increase in other income. Let me discuss about the processing division. The gross income for Q2 FY24 is 253 crores as compared to rupees 237 crores in Q1 FY24. Hello?
Sorry, sir, please go ahead.
Yes. The gross income for Q2 FY24 is 253 crores as compared to rupees 237 crores in Q1 FY24, an increase by rupees 16 crores, representing 7%, mainly due to increase in sales quantity by 11%. The gross income for Q1 FY24 includes sales-based incentive of rupees 6.85 crores received under production linked incentive scheme, PLI scheme. The gross income in Q2 FY24 decreased to 253 crores from 310 crores during Q2 FY23, a decrease of rupees 57 crores representing 19% year-on-year. The sales volume during Q2 FY24 decreased to 2,950 metric tons from 3,492 metric tons in Q2 FY23, decreased by 542 metric tons. The PBT before exceptional item for the Q2 FY24 is 31.50 crores as compared to rupees 32.10 crores in Q1 FY24, decreased by 1 crore. The PBT in Q1 FY24 is higher than PBT in Q2 FY24 in spite of increase in sales during the Q2 FY24 due to inclusion of sales-based incentive of 6.85 crores received under the production linked incentive scheme in Q1 FY24 relating to earlier financial 21-22. The PBT in Q2 FY24 is rupees 31 crores, decreased from rupees 39 crores in the corresponding quarter Q2 FY23, as there is decrease in sales quantity by 542 metric tons and decrease in average sales realization by rupees 37.70 per kg in Q2 FY24. Coming to the comparison of performance for 6 months, the gross income for 6 months during FY24 was 491 crores as compared to rupees 583 crores in corresponding 6 months period of the previous year. The decrease of 92 crores in the gross income during first 6 months of the financial year 24 is mainly decrease in quantity of sales by 1,144 metric tons. The PBT in 6 months FY24 is 63.60 crores as compared to 63.10 crores in the half year in financial year 23. The marginal increase in PBT is due to decrease in cost of raw material consumed and ocean freight rates. Provision for recall expenses in the financial statements. The company has not made any additional provision for recall expenses in Q2 FY24 since full provision has already been made in the financial statements till 31st December 2022 against the total claims received from the buyers. Status of the product recall is one, the value of claims received and charged to P&L account is 35.62 crores. Amount of claims settled up to 31st March 23, 32.57 crores. Amount of claims settled during Q1 FY24, 2.06 crores. Balance claims provision in the book of accounts as of 30th September 23 is 0.99 crores. As regards the product liability claims for bodily injury caused by consuming company's contaminated product under the recall, the company has submitted a revised claim for the claims received and settled by the company to the insurance company. The surveyor has confirmed that the claim will be processed by insurance company on or before 30th November 23. Since the liability has been covered under the commercial general liability insurance policy, no provision has been made in the financial statements of the company. Shrimp production and feed consumption in FY22 and company's plans for FY23. On the basis of estimated shrimp production in 2023, the estimated feed consumption is about 10.5 to 11 lakh metric tons. The company's feed sales during the previous year, FY22, was about 5.41 lakh metric tons as compared to 4.73 lakh metric tons in FY21, an increase by 68,000 metric tons. However, the company's estimated shrimp feed sales was 4.97 lakh metric tons in FY23, down by 44,000 metric tons when compared with FY22. The company's estimated production and sale of shrimp feed in the calendar year 2023 is about 4.9 lakh metric tons at the same level as in the previous year when the total Indian feed consumption is down by 15%. The company has been able to maintain its production and sales though there was an overall decrease in the country. Now, the country's one-amish exports in terms of value declined in FY23 compared to FY22 by 8.11% from US dollar 5,234.36 million to US dollar 4,809.99 million. The country's overall exports of frozen shrimps in quantitative terms for FY23 was 7,11,099 metric tons as compared to 7,28,123 metric tons in FY22, a decline of 17,024 metric tons representing 2.34%. The company's shrimp exports during the financial year 23 was about 12,497 metric tons as compared to 12,836 metric tons in the financial year 22, a decrease by 339 metric tons. It is estimated that the export during the FY24 would be around 12,000 metric tons. The frozen foods division is in the process of expanding its capacity. The new processing plant and cold storage unit at Krishnapuram is Godavari district with a capacity of 7,000 metric tons. The status is 80% of the civil works are completed. Plant and machinery installations are in progress. About 50% installations are completed. Pre-processing trial run has been commenced in Q2 FY24. Expecting commercial operations from March 2024. As you know, the company has been selected under the two incentive schemes of the Government of India. One is sales-based incentive under production-linked incentive scheme and grant in aid under Operations Green long-term interventions scheme. The production-linked incentive scheme, the company is eligible for incentive of 6% on value-added products at 10% on incremental sales over a period of 7 years from financial year 21-22 to FY26-27, subject to a maximum incentive of Rs 79.44 crores with a minimum 5% CAGR in sales. The company has received an incentive of 6.84 crores pertaining to FY23 incentive claim application is being filed on or before 31st December 23. The next scheme is the Operations Green Scheme. Approval from the Government of India for grant in aid for the proposed investment in new shrimp processing plant at Krishnapuram is received in December 22. Maximum grant in aid under the scheme is Rs 10 crores. The first installment of grant in aid is due from the ministry. The company has submitted all the relevant documents in this regard. Now coming to the industry and company's forecast for 2024. It may be noticed that during the first half of FY24, the shrimp feed sales of the company increased marginally by 2%, while the processed shrimp exports declined to 5,608 metric tons in FY24 as compared to 6,752 metric tons in the corresponding period of the previous year. However, as per the analysis report published by the Rabobank on food and agribusiness, the global survey results forecast year-on-year shrimp production growth of 4.8% in 2024, surpassing 2022's peak volumes after expected modest decline in 0.4% in 2023 over 2022. Further, an upturn in the U.S. shrimp import market is beginning to look more real on the basis of the latest update by National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration of its seafood trade database. The upturn is being witnessed for the past 3 months after a 13 consecutive months of year-on-year decrease. However, the price continues to be down by about 10 to 15% on the earlier average price. India continues to lead all source nations, sending US 28,992 metric tons of shrimps worth US$226.3 million in September 2023, 6% more volume and 5% less revenue than September 22. However, the average price is down by 11% to US dollar 7.81 per kg from US dollar 8.74 per kg seen earlier. As per the report of the Commerce Ministry, the exports in August 2023 indicated a 17% year-on-year growth in farm shrimp exports. In the light of information available and the trends indicate an increase in exports in future, the future may be expected. As far as sales of shrimp feed is concerned, as I stated earlier, sales during the first half of financial year 2024 registered a marginal increase over the corresponding period of the previous year. As per the field reports, shrimp culture is being continued and shrimp feed sales of the company during the calendar year 2024 is likely to be at the more or less same level as in the previous calendar year 2023. In spite of anticipated decrease in total shrimp feed sales in India by 10 to 15% in the calendar year 2023 compared to feed sales in calendar year 2022. To sum up, the rest of the current year appears optimistic for the shrimp industry. Now coming to the diversification of company's plan into pet food and pet care products. You may be aware that the company has incorporated a subsidiary with the name Avanti Pet Care Private Limited as a special purpose vehicle for manufacture of pet food, mainly dogs and cats and other pet care products for catering to the domestic market. The required technical know-how is being provided by Bluefalo Pet Care Company Limited, Thailand, a reputed pet food and pet care products manufacturer in Thailand. A memorandum of understanding has been entered into with them, which will be followed by transfer of technical know-how agreement and joint venture agreement in due course, which is expected to be latest by end of this year, that is December 31st. The company will be investing 51% of the equity capital of the joint venture company and the balance will be invested by Bluefalo Pet Care Limited and other investors, the details of which are being worked out. An agency has been appointed for undertaking market research and survey for demand and supply of pet care and pet food and pet care products to evaluate and decide on specific products which are in demand in India. The report is scheduled to be received by end of November 2023, that is end of this month, providing basis for production and sales planning. Further details of the project will be reported to you at the appropriate time. Coming to the fish feed, as reported earlier, a senior executive has been appointed to undertake survey and evaluate the demand and supply of fish feed of various species in India, with the object to set up fish feed manufacturing facility by the company in respect of such species which has demand in India. In the meantime, the company has entered into transfer of technology agreement with the Thai Union Feed Mill for providing technical know-how for manufacture of fish feed in India. Basing on the outcome of the market research and survey, the fish feed required for India market would be decided to go ahead with the manufacturing of the same. Now, after giving the brief, the developments in the last quarter, now I would like to take up the question. We would like to take up the question and answer them.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and 1 again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. First question comes from Faisal Awa from HD Awa & Co. Please go ahead.
How much more expansion is now due and what is the kind of capex that we'll see in the next 1 or 2 years? And how much will it add to our revenues? What is the block to sales for the expansion that we'll not now do?
To answer this, the expansion The company in one is that which is already we have undertaken for the processing, shrimp processing, which will commence in the end of this year, financial year, so with the 7,000 tons capacity. And our endeavor is to make maximum utilization of the capacity, so that, and particularly to value-added products. So that is going to give you the higher the sales volume, exports volume. That is one area. And the second area is that the pet care, but it will take time. We are expecting that it should be completed by end of 24. That it will take about an year and or to complete the project. And from 1st January 25, we will be able to commence the sales in the pet care products. So the coming to the feed, we have already had the sufficient capacity, and last year we had the slowdown of the shrimp culture because of the unremunerative prices and so many other reasons. But now since the market is picking up, particularly the U.S. Exports to U.S. is increasing. So we expand the culture is also now briskly going on, even though it is not the normal season. But with keeping in that, we expect that the coming year 2024, the sales of the feed also will go up to the higher capacity, and the value-added products and ship exports, these two will form the majority of the sales, export sales, and domestic sales in the next year.
So what is the sales that we expect in FY24-25?
So that's as we know that this is particularly this industry, we can't exactly precisely say this is going to be the turnover, the figures we cannot give. But one thing what we can say is that the things are improving. See, initially, if you remember, during our earlier last quarter's call, we were having a very sort of not pessimistic view, rather on the entire industry in the next 1 year and perhaps even in the 24 also. But however, thanks to the improvement in the market, U.S. market pickup and exports, and also the culture. So we are expecting that the things will be much better and more optimistic in the rest of this year and also 2024. So that is an indication with what we can give at this point of time. So once we have the figures for 31st March 24, that is this financial year, and the most important thing is how the next season starts. See, normally the shrimp culture season starts in the end of Jan or February, but as it stands today, the field report is that the farmers are enthusiastic about the next year, and soon after the harvest of the current crop, they will start as early as possible, they would like to start next year. That is what the indication we give. Perhaps in after 31st, that is next quarter, and we will be able to give you an idea about what is the picture that is going to emerge in 2024-25, that is financial year.
And sir, market cap to sale, our valuation is at the lowest that it should be over the last one decade or so. And our biggest concern over our stock is how we utilize our cash reserves. So why do we not undertake a small buyback, open market buyback from the market to, really use our cash also, as well as, address the valuation issue? This is the best valuation that has been in the last.
I think this question has been, we are getting almost in every phone call. And we have been explaining the reason, because the buyback would not result in any advantage to the investors at all, because the money which we are using it for our working capital is helping us a lot to make the whatever the value, the profitability of the company. If you go for bank financing, it is very, very expensive. So instead of going for bank financing, we are using this particular the reserves, that funds which we have, we are keeping on using them optimum level. So we are able to get much, much better the prices for the raw materials, as well as from the banks. We don't borrow. If you look at our balance sheet, we don't have any debts to the company and to the banks for working capital limits. That gives a great advantage. And on the other hand, by just giving 1% or 2% or 5% buyback, it is not going to help anybody, either the company nor the investor. So it is always advantageous to keep the resources as and when we want. Now, for example, the pet care, we don't have to invest anything. We are completely, neither the collaborators nor the company is interested in borrowing it, because so many conditions attached to it, the interest, all these things would make the project much higher than what it is. So we have the great advantage of the funds to immediately implement and go ahead with our the production as early as possible. So we need not have to depend upon the bank borrowing. But this is in fact, this is being appreciated by the even the collaborators also. So because they also would not like to go for bank borrowings, they always prefer only better to use our own resources for the any expansions and all. So as and when we decide, it should be readily available. On the other hand, whatever the surplus that is remained is we are giving the for working capital limits, because seasonality of the industry is one of the again a major concern. Because see, the seasons keep changing and the aquaculture also keeps changing. So the, what is there in the first quarter is not there in the second quarter. So first quarter spillover comes in the next quarter. So we are, must be ready with the funds so that we can use them for raw material procurement. And particularly when the prices are low, we are able to keep higher stocks and take advantage of the, now for example, soybean meal, fresh crop is coming. We are waiting for the price to come down. If they come down immediately, we buy the quantities for normal course. If you keep 15 days, we keep more than 1 month. So that gives a lot of advantage for us. That is the reason why this has been several times discussed at the board level. But somehow the board considers that it is wise thing to go ahead with this policy.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question comes from Nitin Awasthi from InCred Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
So, firstly, I would like to recall that, like you mentioned in the opening remark, that the sales are starting to pick up in the last 2 months. You know, at least that's what the data is showing. The export from India is picking up. What would you attribute this fact to? Is it that problems in Ecuador where they are finally backing off because of their internal issues, or something else?
I think, Nikhilesh, can you please take up this question? Nikhilesh?
Hi, Nitin. Can you, am I audible?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Nitin. I hope you're well. So to answer that question, it's not due to any other factor, but the reason being that the first half of the year, the imports have been down, as data shows. But in the second half, especially during this period, the product for Thanksgiving and Christmas goes in. So that's why you see an uptick in the shipment to the U.S. in particular.
Understood.
I hope that was done.
Yeah, that fairly answers it. Secondly, you know, because of this uptick, we're seeing an optimistic outlook, at least building up for the next year, next harvest, next calendar harvest. However, the two raw materials that you guys use, fish meal and soya, fish meal particularly even now seems to go big, is going berserk, because I think all the supplies from India has been absorbed by China. which we have not seen in many years. And, you know, it's been abnormal prices that we are seeing. So, you know, profitability seems to be very largely impacted because of that. At least going forward, we think that prices of 150 a kg is not very far-fetched.
Yeah, true. What you said is correct. See, the profitability is impacted, but we are making a lot of efforts to convince the government that you make a provision by whatever the procedure you call, whether it is on the imposing restriction on exports or discouraging by withdrawing the export incentives or whatever it is. So the whatever the shrimp meal that is produced in India is first made available to the local industries, because this is a value-added product. What we are doing is we are producing the shrimps and we are exporting the shrimps, and the value-added product is more advantageous to the government. But however, you know, as you know, we have made representations to the government, and we are awaiting. This is a thing which has to be answered by only the government, because we as a consumers, we do not have much choice. Because if you fishmeal exporter, the producer says that I am getting so much there, why should I give it to you? That's what at least as Avanti Feeds has got a better relationship with most of the manufacturers. At least when they don't have export orders, they first prefer to Avanti. So that we have been able to keep our requirements getting, but the price is something which is very difficult. Only the marginally they reduce the price compared to their exports. That is the only thing which we could do at this point of time. Hopefully the government would realize the necessity for regulating these exports of shrimp, fish meal to other countries. Most so what happened is Southeast Asian countries, which they consume the fish meal, the Chile and Peru, the transportation, and also off late there has been a decrease in the fish catches in Chile and Peru. That is also has contributed to some extent the shortage of fish meal in those countries. So they added to that the cost effective fish meal procured from India is that is the reason why most of the South Asian countries are importing from India the fish meal. I think that's what we can do at this point of time, sir.
Understood, sir. But this seems to be a very serious factor which could actually halt the growth of the industry for no fault of its own. So I think serious action should be taken from the government side. It's good that you are representing. You know, I think the representation should grow, because the numbers speak for itself. You know, one country has sucked out more fish meal from India in this year than I think 4 or 5 years combined exports.
Yes, see, in fact, our CMD Indir Kumar, he represented twice. He went to Delhi, met the finance ministry and also the commerce ministry, and requested them to do something to regulate it. It's not necessary you completely ban, but you can always put, you know, the parity, you can bring the level playing this thing for Indian consumers also. So if you make the big difference, that is not going to help the domestic industry. Though they realized, but it's all the government procedures and all, they immediately they said, when we are getting foreign exchange, why should we discourage them? So that is the stand the government always takes, because they are getting foreign exchange. That's available foreign exchange. So naturally, they say, why should we put restrictions? That is what is happening. You know, it's a debate. It will not happen, but one day definitely they realize that how it is they helps the domestic industry to increase its foreign exchange much more, multiple number of times it can get it if shrimp is exported. That has to be realized by the various, you know, levels of the government, and the policy has to be brought whereby they can at least put some quota or something like that, or discourage these incentives, that is duty drawback, road tap and all these things can be discouraged, so that a portion of the production is given to the Indian consumers.
Got it, sir. So last question from my side, the India Shrimp Tariff Act has been introduced in the Senate in US. Any thoughts on this? Why is India being targeted specifically? Because I think Ecuador share has also been considerably up in exports to the US. However, they are getting treaties being signed, trade deals being signed by them, and tariffs being reduced. And on the other hand, you know, you have Indian Shrimp Tariff Act, which brings a, I mean, in, like, it does just make the business unfeasible if the, this act goes through.
Nikhilesh, can you take this question, please?
Could you repeat what you're saying, Nitin? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear the first part.
No worry, no worry. I'll just repeat it. So there's this act which has been introduced in Senate in the US, the India Shrimp Tariff Act. And, you know, meanwhile, there are also imports from the Ecuador, which is a competitor, to US has been increasing multifold. And whereas with Ecuador, you know, US has been signing trade agreements and trade deals, lowering their tariff. And, you know, they're introducing bills like this, which will actually make business in the shrimp processing industry impossible if, you know, bills like this go through. So what are your thoughts on that?
Thank you, Nitin. I would like you to double check on the information. The duty, it's not the Indian shrimp tariff. It's called the CVD or the countervailing duty that's being put by the U.S. on shrimp from India, Ecuador, Indonesia, Vietnam. So all the major shrimp processing countries. And in addition to the countervailing duty, I see that Indonesia and Ecuador will be subject to even anti-dumping duty. So I feel that this is not to India specific, but it's more towards the general shrimp producing in the country. The biggest, in my opinion, the duty which is proposed to be included if everything passes, which also, again, you know, there's so many bills introduced. Not all of them go through, right? So if it does get introduced, it's going to be a country-specific duty. So we need to see how this develops, but it's not India-specific. So I don't, it is a big question mark right now, but this is an external factor, which is the U.S. government governing this. So we are waiting for the developments and we're following and taking the necessary precautions. But again, I just want to assure you, this is not India specific.
Understood, sir. Heartening to hear that. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Next question comes from Jasdeep Walia from Clockwine Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. So I just wanted your thoughts on how does cost of production compare between India and Ecuador, first at the raw shrimp level and then at the processed shrimp level?
Yeah, Nikhilesh.
I'll take that question. So the specifics on the cost structure, I'm not 100% aware because it's not usually clearly disclosed. We just have an information on people giving us information by word of mouth. But looking at it, the cost structure, the cost of the farm gate shrimp in Ecuador is lower than India. This is due to a variety of factors because most of the processors in Ecuador are actually also large farmers, right? So they are controlling the farm gate price and doing a vertical integration play where it's unclear what is the actual cost of production. But on processed shrimp, definitely Ecuador is very cost competitive. They are the biggest competitor to Indian shrimp today. But again, we play in different, like Avanti in particular plays in a different game compared to Ecuador, because Ecuador just focuses on very commodity products like headless shell-on or head-on shell-on. They're just basically taking the shrimp and selling it, where we focus more on value-added play. Nevertheless, there is intense competition from Ecuador, and the processed shrimp on the commodity products, they're more attractive than India. But again, time and again, we've been saying in the last few years, we focus on moving away from commodity to value-added products, which is beneficial for us. I hope that I answered your question.
Sir, in your earlier commentary, you used to say that on the processed shrimp side, India is more competitive because the cost of labor is lower in India. Now you said that Ecuador is more competitive. Can you explain this dichotomy?
Yeah, I can explain that. So Ecuador has become the largest producer in the past 2 years. So it's not something that's been over the last decade. It's come up to be the largest producer in the last 2 years. So that is the reason the commentary has changed today. They have expanded their production from 600 to a billion to about 1.5 billion now. That is the target for production for this year. So they've almost doubled every year for the last 2 to 3 years. So that's the distance that you see. But we are very competitive on certain products which Ecuador does not focus on. Like I was saying in my previous comment, Ecuador focuses on commodity shrimp, where we focus on value-added shrimp.
By value-added shrimp, I understand one category of product is the breaded shrimp or, let's say, ready-to-cook kind of shrimps. What about basic processed shrimp where you just devein the shrimp, clean the shrimp, pack it and, send it for export? So there also you're saying Ecuador is more competitive.
No, I would say over there we would be par to par. Like, you must understand that on a general basis, you see that India has a population about 1.5 billion people today. That Ecuador, if I'm not wrong, is not even a tenth of what we have in terms of manpower. So we are able to process more cut, peel, devein shrimp compared to Ecuador. And coming to breaded and ready-to-eat products, they're still far away.
Got it. My second question is that I've been reading that the prices of beef in U.S. have increased significantly. Also, prices of pork in China have increased significantly over the last couple of months. So in your experience, you would have seen these kind of trends earlier also. What do you think will be the impact of these price changes on the shrimp consumption in U.S.? Does it lead to faster clearing of inventory of shrimp, or, it doesn't mean much?
So it's very difficult to say because you pinpointed only one factor, which is the price increase in different protein. But you must also, there are so many other factors. Like, I'm not sure if you came across the chairman of JP Morgan who recently said that the disposable income of the U.S. middle class is at all-time low. The savings that they made through the pandemic, etc., they're quickly diluting through it. So there are so many factors that affect it. As of now, I would say there is no change in our forecast for shrimp sales in the next 6 months.
Got it, sir. Thank you. That's all from my
side. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. I repeat, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. We have a follow-up question from Faisal Hawa from HG Hawa & Co. Please go ahead.
So, sir, since our business is constantly throwing up cash and, we are very much debt-averse, Would it be a right assumption to make that we will keep on making, you know, small expansions in capacity wherever we see some areas where it can be sold easily, and this way we will at least double revenue every 4 to 5 years?
Yeah, that has been always we look for the expansion provided it is it creates value addition for the investors, the investment. So naturally that as you know that we have been trying almost like last 5-6 years to continuously on look out for a suitable product for expansion, diversification. Of course, fish feed has been discussed quite often. But there is a reason for why we did not take up that fish feed a couple of years ago, because there was a proper demand for the product. We should be able to make profit out of that business. So that's why we have been keeping at the appropriate time. That is the answer which we have been giving in all our earlier calls. This is how we are going it. See, the expansion we are ready to do, provided it has some the advantage to the company and the investors. Definitely we'll do that. There is no time limit of 4 or 5 years like that, but we can always...
In the last 5 to 6 years, has there been any expansion where we have fallen behind deadlines and not been able to start the production on time?
No, there was no such this thing. Only one occasion that feed, that Bandapuram, there was a small, because of the post after corona time, the shipments did not come. There was about 3 to 4 months delay. But for that, there was never such was. We were ready. Only thing is the shipments took time, for 3 to 4 months, because of the availability of vessels and all those things at the time. This was a very... very complicated issues were there at that time. So that is the only occasion we did not have any real impact out of that.
And the debtor days are up a bit. So is that a seasonal matter or there's more to it?
Seasonal
matter. It is purely seasonal.
So we will be always in single digit debtor days.
Yes.
Okay,
thank you. That will be the last question for the day. Ladies and gentlemen, we would like to come to the end of the conference. We appreciate the interest from the investors and analysts for the participation. Thank you. And if you need any further information, you may connect with Ms. Lakshmi Sharma and Mr. Narendra Sharma of Avanti Feeds Limited at investors@avantifeeds.com. Thank you for your participation and for using Dur Sabha's conference call service. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a good day.